Good morning, everyone. If you would please go ahead and find your seats. All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome to Morningside Baptist. We're glad to have you here with us today. We've got a couple of announcements. First off, the pancake breakfast happening next week, May 25th, during the Sunday school hour. That's to celebrate our graduates. So show up at 9:30 hungry. We've got a couple other things going on that we don't have slides for. Be looking forward to June 7th. That'll be our church work day. Not any details yet, so look forward to that in the next couple of weeks. If you saw the baby bottles out in the entryway, those are going to be due back on Father's Day. So be collecting. If you don't know what those are about, find Michael or Kenzie Cam and ask them about that. And then if you are part of any ministry where you get scheduled weekly or monthly or anything like that, and you received an invitation for the Worship Tools app or one of the apps in there for scheduling ministry volunteers, find Bryce Armstrong after the service, and we will try and help you get that set up if you haven't already. I believe that's all the announcements. So if you would please go ahead and stand with us, and we're going to join the worship team in music.
Never keep my hold through life's fearful night. glad, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Saves are His delight. Christ will hold me fast, precious in His holy sight. He will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last, bought by Him at such a cost. Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. For my life He bled and died. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. With Him to endless life, He will hold me fast, till our faith has turned to sight, when He comes at last. He will hold me fast, He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast.
If you would please have a seat. All right. If you would please join me as we pray. Father God, You are so glorious, so wonderful, and so worthy of praise, and the worship we bring You before You is not worthy of You, and yet You delight in it, Lord. I'm so thankful that You've made us a part of this. I pray that today, as we learn from Your word, that You would speak through Pastor Dave, that You would draw us closer to You, teach and edify us. And I pray that we'd be able to glorify You by what we learn here today. And I pray that all this would be done for Your glory and in Your Son's holy name. Amen. All right, please stand, and we'll continue to worship with music.
My Redeemer, there is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Oh, Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before.
Silence, the roaring light. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to set us free from sin and death and hell, to bring us into eternal life, to be with you in heaven for all eternity, to enjoy fullness of joy in your presence, all because of your mercy and grace. I pray for anyone who is here who's never put their hope and trust in Jesus as their only hope of being right with you, that even today they would see that any other way is in vain. It will not make things right with you. And so I pray you'd work powerfully by your Spirit to show them that Jesus is the only way. Lord, I thank you for your word. And it says that it works effectively in those who believe. And so as we look at your word and see what it says about hope, I pray that your Holy Spirit would empower what is said, because it's from your word, to bring your people even more hope than we started with this morning. I pray this in Christ's mighty name. Amen. You may recognize that the song we just sang is based on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Ephesians 2:12 reminds us that before God's great mercy rescued us, we were without hope. But now, through the miracle of Christ's resurrection and the miracle of our new birth, we have a living hope in a living Savior. But some days, our hope isn't very strong. We might have a sense of dread that something bad might happen in the future, and we have to fight against those anxious thoughts. Or we might wish that our circumstances would get better, but we aren't sure how that could possibly happen. Our text for today is a prayer that God's people would enjoy an abundance of hope. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Romans chapter 15. As we continue our study in this New Testament letter, Romans chapter 15. And we'll be looking at verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We should start with a definition of hope. The way we usually use the word is to express a wish that something good would happen in the future. For example, I hope we get some rain, the grass or the garden really need it. Or I hope it doesn't rain because we're planning to be outside for the graduation open house. But in either case, there's no guarantee that the weather will cooperate. No matter what the meteorologist predicts, it is still uncertain. What we desire to happen may or may not happen. Hope, as it's used in the Bible, is much more solid. It is a confident expectation of future good because God has promised it. It is a present confidence in a future certainty. Sinclair Ferguson says, "Hope in Scripture is not wishful thinking. It is confidence based on the promise of God. It is the assurance that we will experience blessings we do not yet experience." We will experience them, even though we're not experiencing them yet. Or I love Randy Alcorn's definition, believing that one day, even if today is not that day, that God will set all things right. So with that definition of hope in mind, let's look at what this verse says about where this kind of hope comes from and how we can experience more of it. First, God is the source of our hope. He is addressed as the God of hope. He is called the God of all grace in 1 Peter 5 and the God of all comfort in 2 Corinthians 1. God is called the God of peace 6 times in the New Testament. And here he is called the God of hope. In other words, he is the author and giver of our hope. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16, Paul says, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace." So God himself has given us a solid hope as a gift of his grace. How does God strengthen our hope? Before we look at the prayer in verse 13, let's go back to two other verses in chapter 15. So verse 4 of chapter 15. "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So one of the means God uses to nourish and strengthen our hope is the scriptures. One of the reasons God gave us his word is so that we might have hope. So here are just two examples. You're reading Genesis in your quiet time, and you come across the story of Joseph. It's certainly an interesting plot, but beyond its literary value, Romans 15:4 is telling us it was written for our instruction. We are intended to learn some things about God and his dealings through this story in the past. But the goal of that instruction is not just that we would have knowledge of some things in the past. The goal, through the encouragement of the scriptures, is that we would have hope in God now. And so when we get to the finale in chapter 50, Joseph forgives his brothers for how they have wronged him. And we read this amazing verse in chapter 50, verse 20. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Even all the malice and mistreatment of his brothers was designed by God for a good purpose, even though Joseph would not have been able to guess how it could be good at the time. And so we take that verse and we combine it with Romans 8:28, which sounds like it. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And God's word strengthens our hope that even though we can't see how a painful situation could be for our good, And even though we can't guess how a perplexing trial could be beneficial, we are encouraged to have confidence that our God, who is sovereign, will bring about something that is for our ultimate good. And so the Word of God strengthens our hope in God. Or you're reading the Psalms, and you come across this verse in Psalm 31. It's verse 22. As for me, I said in my alarm, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. David is a man after God's own heart. He is not a subpar believer. And yet he says there was a time of distress in his life that was so bad he felt cut off from God. And while it's encouraging to know that even someone like David felt that way sometimes, don't miss the encouragement in that word, nevertheless. In other words, even though I did not sense you were there, or that you were near, even though I couldn't see how you were working on my behalf, you were there. And even though I had doubts and fears that you weren't even listening to my prayers, you still heard my cries for mercy. And so he says at the end of the psalm to us as readers, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. So there was a point where he wasn't hoping in the Lord. And in spite of that lack of hope and lack of confidence, God was still working, and God was still there, and God was still answering prayers. And so he says to us, be strong, let your heart take courage. So this is Matthew Henry. He would have us set our hope in God. Be of good courage, whatever difficulties or dangers you may meet with. The God you trust in shall be, by that trust, strengthen your heart. Those that hope in God have reason to be of good courage, and let their hearts be strong. For as nothing truly evil can befall them, so nothing truly good for them shall be wanting to them. So God uses his word to give us hope. So the more we take in his word, the more hope we will experience. And the less we're taking in his word, the less hopeful we will be. If the doctor says the more you exercise, the healthier you will be and feel, we wouldn't see that as using guilt to motivate us. It's simply just how means work. Well, God cares about our spiritual health and well-being. He wants us as his children to be characterized by hope. And he has given us wise instructions. Namely, if we want to grow stronger in hope, we need to make use of the scriptures he's provided that are designed for that purpose. Let's go to verse 12 of Romans 15. We touched on this last week. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. Remember, Gentiles is the word that gives us ethnic. So in him, the ethnic groups of the world will hope. All the nations on the earth will hope. So this verse is telling us two things. One, Jesus, the one who is descended from David, the son of Jesse, is the rightful king of all the nations, all the ethnic groups. We see that in Psalm 2, where it says, ask of me, I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, the very ends of the earth as your possessions. And then Jesus is also the ultimate hope of all the nations. So go to Matthew 12. And Matthew quotes from the book of Isaiah. Verse 17, he says, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A battered reed, he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out. So he's gentle, he's compassionate, until he leads justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. So Jesus is the hope. He's the only hope. And if you ask a lot of people, do you know you're going to heaven? Some will say, I hope so. But that often just means I'd like to go there, but I'm not confident that's my final destination. I hope being a good person or the good things I've done is good enough to pass the entrance requirements, but I'm not really sure. I hope God grades on a curve, but I guess I won't really know till I get there. And those are all very flimsy hopes. If God is showing you that your hope in heaven is not very solid, acknowledge you are hopelessly lost. There is no reason why a holy God would accept an unholy person into his presence. In Habakkuk chapter 1, the prophet says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. So turn from sin and turn from putting any hope in yourself or anything you can do to make things right with God. In Sunday school last week, and we reviewed it this morning, we talked about the question, if God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And a lot of people give an answer that says, I. And let's look at how Paul would have answered that question at one point in his life in chapter 3. This is where we've been in Sunday school. In Philippians 3, Paul says in verse 4, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. And then he starts listing off these assets or these points. Circumcised on the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. So that's quite an impressive list. And our list might be, I was raised in a Christian home, or I was baptized, or I went to church, or I gave money, or I helped people, or I was a good person, or one that was mentioned this in Sunday school was, I didn't murder anybody. You know, so we don't have all kinds of things on our list, but they're all about what I can do. That's putting confidence in the flesh. And Paul says in verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, the things I thought would be points in my favor, to have God say, yeah, welcome into my heaven, that's a great list. He says, I count them as loss for the sake of Christ. So we turn away from any hope of thinking we can do anything or offer anything that would make us acceptable in God's sight. And we place all our hope in Jesus Christ. When we close the service this morning, we're going to sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And the blood, of course, is his shed blood on the cross that was offered as an atoning sacrifice for sinners. And his righteousness is his perfect life of obedience that's credited to our account by faith. And so Paul goes on after saying, I don't want to depend on those other things I've done. He says in verse 9, I want to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That's our only hope, is putting all our hope in Christ, his death, his resurrection, his righteousness, to be accepted by God forever. So our God is the God of hope. He has provided us with his word to strengthen our hope. He has provided us his son as the solid foundation of all our hopes. And now back to verse 13, he has provided us with prayer as a means of increasing our hope. So go back to verse 13 of Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a prayer asking God to do something for his children, which tells us it doesn't happen by itself. And it isn't something we are able to bring about on our own. When Jesus says in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing, that includes you cannot have a confident expectation of future good in this life or in the life to come apart from me. In 1 Timothy 1:1, it says, Jesus, our hope. He is our living hope. Or James 4:2, which we often mention in Sunday school. James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. So if we are lacking in hope, or our hope is weak, it might be because we haven't asked God for more hope. So pray. We pray. And Paul starts with the request, may God fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So not just asking for a little bit of joy, not just requesting a small measure of peace, but Lord, fill your people with all joy and all peace. May they rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's 1 Peter 1:8. May they experience a peace that passes understanding. That's Philippians 4:7. That we have a sense of well-being, that it's well with our soul no matter what's going on in our circumstances, because we know God is in control. And then notice another means in that phrase. Joy and peace in believing. So unbelief is the enemy of hope. Staying hopeful is a fight of faith. So go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Beginning at verse 5. This is the chorus that's repeated again in verse 11 and again in verse 43, verse 5, or chapter 43, verse 5. It starts, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted? Why are you despondent? And it could just stop there. The psalmist could just focus on all the reasons he has to feel discouraged and why he should just give up hope. And some days that's pretty easy to do. But instead of just listening to himself and surrendering to his feelings of despair, he addresses his soul in the next sentence. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Richard Sibbes wrote a message on this text called The Soul's Conflict with Itself and Victory Over Itself by Faith. But you can see the fight. I'm downcast, I'm disquieted, I'm in despair. Hope in God. He has to do it three times. He says it again in 11. He says it again in 43:5. It's not just an instant magic bullet solution. It's a fight of faith. Where it's a battle against fear and doubt. And we will need to pray some days like that distressed father in Mark 9. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm so glad that prayer's in the Bible. Some days our faith is strong and yeah, and some days it's not so strong, and it's, Lord, help my unbelief. I know I should believe this. I know I should have hope. The struggle is real. Help my unbelief. And look at the outcome or the intended result of this request. So that, so the goal of God granting this joy and peace in believing is so that you will abound in hope. Abound means to be present in great quantity, to be prevalent, to be plentifully supplied. So the goal of this prayer is that God's people will be overflowing with hope, that our lives would be characterized by a great quantity of confident expectation of future good in this world and in the world to come, because God has made promises. And Paul adds another phrase about how this abounding hope will come about. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. This hope will not abound because of our willpower or trying by our own strength. It will only come about by the supernatural enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And this hope will be an anchor to our soul, giving us stability in all the unsettling storms of life. And so Hebrews 6, verse 17 says, "In the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, guaranteed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us." So far he's just saying, God knows we're weak. He wanted to encourage us to take hold of this hope he's held out to us. And so he says, it's impossible for me to lie. Every promise I make will come about. And then the author says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. We're going to sing in a minute, "In every high and stormy gale." I looked up a gale. It is a wind gust of 63 miles an hour. So Friday was super windy. Some of us were picking up branches on Saturday because of all the wind. That was only up to 50, 63-mile-hour wind. So if you're on a sailboat, that's a lot to mess with. So in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. That's what keeps me stable. That's what keeps me in a good place. And the verse that's not in this version, but in the original version is, "When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay." So we put our hope in the God of hope, making use of his word and prayer to abound more and more in a rock-solid hope for our future. I want to close with this quote from J.C. Ryle, a pastor in the 1800s in Great Britain. He says to us, Go on then to your journey's end, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God, Romans 5:2. Go on rejoicing in the thought that though you are a poor sinner, Jesus is a most gracious Savior. And that though you have trials here for a little while, heaven shall soon make amends for all. Yet a little time, and faith shall be changed to sight, and hope to certainty. A few more tossings to and fro on the waves of this troublesome world. A few more battles and conflicts with our spiritual enemy. A few more years of tears and partings, of working and suffering, of crosses and cares, of disappointments and vexations. And then we shall be at home. Then we shall find that all that we have hoped for, and find that it was a million times better than all our hopes. Let's pray. Well, Lord, you've told us that eye is not seen or ear heard or entered into the thoughts of man what you have prepared for those who love you. You told us to fix our hope completely on the grace that is to be revealed to us at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you have promised amazing things beyond what we can even imagine about our future destiny in heaven. And so, Lord, we want to have strong hope, strong confidence in that good that you've promised us, because it's impossible for you to lie. And I pray that that hope would strengthen and encourage our day-to-day lives, the struggles and the fears and doubts we have, Lord, I pray that that hope would be an anchor for our soul. And I pray again for anyone who's not put their hope in Jesus, that they would turn away from any false hopes and put all their trust in Him alone. It's in His name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing Cornerstone as we close. Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.